think that the latter half of your life would require this much ibuprofen? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Been married a long time. Your wife would give you lists of things to do around the house. Am I right, fellas? A honey-do list. Honey, do this. Honey, do that. Can you imagine ever walking up to your wife, handing her a list, and going, "Here, get these things done."
So true. That is the truth. Do we ever think about that? Oh, the differences. In fact, I'd like to thank Joel Skousen for coming on in the previous hour. And of course, Allison Armstrong joins me in this hour. I always love my Fridays. I can't express that enough. Allison Armstrong from understandmen.com. How are you?
I'm good. And that's such a perfect lead into what we're going to talk about today.
Yes, actually, you're right. And so we've got a great topic at hand. And, you know, Allison, I remember you've been on the Dennis Prager show. You're one of his favorite regular guests and talk about everything from obligatory sex to components of a relationship, to fathers and judgment, to differences between men and women and taking things personal and all these things that we get to learn about each other and try to get us through, right? And not only get us through, but thrive in marriage, because people listening right now might even be on their third or marriage or fourth marriage, or maybe they're still on their first marriage and they're trying to work through things. And this is something that I love to segue away from politics and into relationships, because I know it's going to help everybody out there, no matter what situation you're in, even if it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever the situation. This is why I love Allison, because she comes on with all this common sense and then all of this wisdom, as she's such a great analyzer of people, of men and women and strengths and things that we can help each other see, because we're such different people. And just at our very core, we're different. But we don't realize that, I think, when we get married. It's kind of like we go in and we go, love will prevail. And then comes the work. It's like my grandmother used to say, anyone can get married. It's the living together that counts. It's true, right?
Yes. In fact, if ever I become an investor in real estate, I'm gonna have conjoined condos built, or duplexes meant for couples.
Right.
So we don't have to live in each other's space and drive each other's crazy, but we can visit very easily.
Oh, I love that. Like even like an underground tunnel. We can even make it mysterious.
Yeah, we could do that.
And so, you know, you come with just years and decades of experience in the groups that you're teaching, and what are you doing right now? A lot of people have moved online. A lot of people, I know that you have done talks and conferences all over the United States. How do people access you right now? Get your courses?
Well, I'm never ahead of anything when it comes to technology. Mm. I'm such a late adopter.
Me too.
And we put all of our most important information online 3 years ago. We started 4 years
right.
ago.
Okay.
So I have over 100 hours of online courses mm-hmm. that are made up of all these different mediums, like films mm-hmm. from live workshops that I used to lead, mm-hmm. and so you get to see everybody's reactions, and just straight at the camera, just me and you talking about this stuff. And so we have... Yeah, we have people all over the world doing our online curriculum, and then I get to talk to them and answer their questions,
and that's
my favorite part.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to work out some things, like we have mm-hmm. a course we do with horses in Canada mm-hmm. that I may not be able to get to Canada.
Right.
I may not be able to get across the border, so mm-hmm. One of my best friends that I created it with has agreed to do it this year back in Colorado, in case we can't get there. So mm-hmm. we're making those adaptations, and I've just really, it sounds terrible, but I've enjoyed this time.
Have you?
Because I, this is going to sound funny, I find people's physical bodies incredibly distracting.
That's an interesting way to put it. Okay,
all that scratching and rearranging and fidgeting uh-huh. and posturing and hair tucking and lip chewing and all that stuff. It's just a lot of information.
That's funny.
And so much easier for me just to do what we're doing. You and me, I can focus.
Yeah, I love this. In fact, I had a friend of mine at my office poke his head in and say, you know, my wife and I took her course, and that was the most fun we've ever had as a couple. And I just want to tell you that because I talk about a resounding, you know, endorsement. And he said, I absolutely loved her course. It's amazing. So thank you for putting that out there and helping people. And so let's talk about conflicts and communication, because it seems to be the big barrier. This is the big barrier reef in relationships, it seems.
Yeah. Well, okay, so I'm actually going to start. Mm-hmm. Because the conflicts are, they start with instincts, mm-hmm. and we go about things very differently. And your lead-in was, you know, about a honey-do list.
Right.
And women giving men a honey-do list.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what would happen if a man ever gave a woman a honey-do list? Well, the thing is, though, because of the way she's wired, she doesn't wait for him to give her a list.
Mm.
She's already watching for signs of what pleases and displeases him,
okay.
what irritates him, right? Okay, like instinctually, we're built to please, unfortunately.
Right.
Dependency does that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll do it to men, too. Anywhere that they're dependent, they will try to be pleasing, and we usually sell our souls for it. And so women don't even ask, honey, is there anything you'd like me to do? We already have a list of things we know we should do. And the problem is that we actually don't check it out. Honey, I made a list for myself of what I would do for you. Could you check and see if any of these matter to you? Or do I just think they matter to you?
You know, that's a good point, though, because my husband has a list this weekend. It's long, too, and I'm feeling bad. But you know, he's a good sport, and he's going to try to attempt, you know, some of these things. But you're right about that, and we tend to do things that they're like, and I care why? I mean, what? Okay, mm-hmm. whatever floats your boat, honey. I mean, we tend to run circles around trying to do all of these things, and so I think you're so dead on that.
And want to be appreciated for it.
Yes.
You want to be appreciated for it, not taken for granted,
mm-hmm.
but we don't check and see, do you really care about this?
Right.
And
the other
thing about making a list mm-hmm. is, you know, one of the biggest complaints women have about men is, I forgot.
Yeah.
I forgot. Honey, did you do the such and such? I forgot. So women make a list so that it's written down. It's right here. You just look at the list. You don't have to depend on your memory.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
that's
Saturday
so
morning,
true.
Start working the list.
You know,
that's our adaptation to that people in hunting mode listen differently than people in gathering mode. And there's things that they legitimately don't remember because it was presented to them when it wasn't actionable.
Okay. Because I just watched a clip last night. It was Jim Gaffigan, and he was talking about the fact that he didn't want to go to a party. And he goes, can we just say we don't want to go? Like, I would like to come, but I just don't want to. In your response,
is that allowed?
I just don't care. I don't feel like it. You know, is that a response, or do we have to make something up? You know, and I thought to myself, you know, men are very literal, and that would actually probably please them to go, I just don't want to.
I just don't want to.
I don't want to do that honey-do list.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's one of the things you have to watch out for is that someone who's focused and committed to something, which, you know, men are most of the time, and women will flip in and out of it, is being literal.
Right.
So, like, a common example that can cause so much trouble, a man will be focused on something, and his wife says, hey, honey, do you want to do something fun tonight? And he says, I'm busy.
Mm.
Now, he might say, I'm busy.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, women are always in the subtext. What was the body language? What was the tone? Right? He said, I'm busy, like he was pissed. What's he pissed about? Right? He's mad at me that I asked him to do something with him. He doesn't spend enough time with me in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the busy, that frustration wasn't that she asked. The frustration already existed in what he was focused on.
Ah,
and he didn't switch out of he's frustrated with what he's doing to respond to this kind invitation from my lovely wife in a gracious tone.
Right.
Oh, honey, thank you so much for wanting to be with me, but I'm busy already tonight. I have to finish this project that I hate. They don't do that. They just they just answer, I'm busy, right? And it could be I'm busy later, or it could be I'm busy now. It's just literal and kind of pushing away anything that's getting in the way of that result. And we, so we think they're communicating with this subtext, and so we try to communicate with them with subtext.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So if he says to her, you know, with classic, you know, big game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Honey, you want to do it?
Mm-hmm. Right?
Not a good play, guys. Not a good play, right?
That's so true,
right?
Though.
But he says that, thinking that in those words contains all the magic and wonder and intimacy of being physical with one's wife. No, right. It doesn't contain that. Not for her.
Right.
And she'll say, I'm busy, right?
Right.
But she'll say, I'm busy. How she says it matters a lot. Because she could say it in a way like, I'm busy.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Which means I'm doing something you ought to be helping with me with.
It's so
and
true.
If you did, you'd get
so
them.
True. Yes.
Right?
Yes. You're right. It's all in the way it's said.
She might say, I'm busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
The woman of mystery. Now you have to guess.
Right.
What is she busy with? She wants you to guess. She's trying to plague you. She's getting back at you for something.
That is true. Do you know that's so true, though? Gosh.
Yes. But the problem is that we are trying to communicate with tone because estrogen-soaked brains are uber-sensitive to tone.
Right.
And to a man, he just hears she's busy, which if you look it up in the dictionary, it says occupied. Okay, she's occupied.
Occupied, I like that. Just occupied.
When will you not be busy?
That is the truth, though. I mean, I think everyone out there is nodding their head and smiling. And if you're not, you're living in a cave somewhere. Because I mean, this is just part of the human nature between men and women. This is it, right there. You've just classified it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, so that's where it starts, right? Mm-hmm. Literal versus subtext.
Yes.
And what normally happens, which cracks me up, because like I said, I talk to my students all the time. I think I'm at 17 hours a month or something. I'm on the phone with them.
Jeez.
And I get this question. Okay, so my boyfriend said this to me.
Oh.
What does that mean?
Okay, hold that thought. Because when I come back, I want you to go through that question. Be right back with Allison Armstrong from understandmen.com. Understandmen.com. Be right back.
Now, call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. Well, I'll be back all around the way. Seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you.
Hi there, welcome back. You know, it's funny, there's a line in that song, the more I see, the less I know. And sometimes I think there are things that we can wire in a relationship. You know, we kind of get to know each other. But still, as I think that we go through the decades or years of raising kids and so on, there's always so much we don't know. And we still fight all the same. We still fight a lot of these issues because we don't understand how each other reacts to each other. And we don't understand just sort of our nature. I have Allison Armstrong on with me, and she's such a gift. And all those listening across the country right now, in the world, really, in Canada and all the different countries. I think we have about 30 countries that listen right now. Yeah. And I just wanted you to know, after hitting 1,120,000 podcast listens last week, I thank you all for sharing, because part of the success of this show is Allison coming on and talking about relationships and letting us kind of understand what's going on here. Allison is at understandmen.com, understandmen.com, and she's such a gift to understand men and women. And you were just asking about a question, and I also wanted to ask you about, okay, so you identified one of the problems, and that was, you know, asking to be intimate. You know, you're married and asking to be intimate, but I think there are people out there that go, well, how do we solve that? How do we ask differently, you know, to get the things that we want to have happen? So I have a go at both of those. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll answer that one first.
Okay.
And it's why it's so important to fix this is because neither men nor women understand how deeply we can hurt each other by not treating this area with a lot of respect and compassion and curiosity. Right?
Mm. Okay.
Women have no idea how they use the word crushed. Mm-hmm. It's a big risk for a man to ask. And the more in love he is with his wife, the bigger the risk he is. It's just like it's one of the scariest things for them to do. So they're always watching for signs that she's receptive. Oh, she put on those panties.
Yeah, and not those sweats.
That's a guess, right? So they're looking for, you know, how did she dress?
Right.
And because then it's less risky, right? Mm. But we don't know that they really are crushed. It means so much to them to connect with us that way. And then they don't know that we actually have no clue what a difference it makes in their lives for them to connect with us intimately. We do not know the very long list of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual benefits. And it's a very long list. It's one of the most important things for couples to ask each other. You know, what difference does it make for you? And including all possible variations and frequencies and cumulative effects. And it's huge. Mm-hmm. You know, Dennis Prager and I end up talking about this a lot. We both believe in it, how important it is. But so for men to say it, you know, want to do it, right?
Yes, right.
It's a very big it. It's a rich it. And they don't know that when they say that, we are not present to any of the benefits. We're not present to the fun. We're not present to the connection. We're not present to any of that. We're just present to what have I got in front of me, and I got to get it done, and everything's screening at me. And do I want to do it? No, I'm too tired, right? Because we immediately check our energy levels. Or no, I'm just not receptive, which happens when we don't have enough oxytocin, because women's lifestyles don't build oxytocin anymore. And they don't know that we're not checking to see, do I love you? Do I want to connect with you? Are you, you know, awesome as a mate that way?
Right.
That's not what we're checking. That's not what we're saying no to. We're saying no to all the things we're checking within ourselves that have to do with whether we're receptive or not. And then, Kate, unfortunately, you add on top of that, people have an expectation that other people should get over things.
Right.
So if I've disrespected you and really, really upset you, you know, you'll get over it.
Yeah.
Or if you've hurt my feelings, right? The expectation a lot of people have is that women will get over hurt feelings. We don't get over hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't get over them. And so hurt feelings and disrespect actually cause intimacy to be repulsive.
Mm.
Like, no way am I going to let you that close to me.
Hmm.
So a lot of what has to be done in this area is that we can't step over stuff. We can't let it go under the, just, you know, brush it under, the, you know, anything. We've got to, okay, so are we good? Really, are we good? And my standard is I'm not done until I'm glad it happened. Whatever it was, I disrespected someone else.
Sure,
or they hurt
my
feelings, or they disrespected me. We're not done until I'm more in love with you.
Right. Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to do that, but it's how I had a 26 and a half year marriage, and people thought we were newlyweds because we made sure we were always in that freshness.
That's great.
That there wasn't any garbage anywhere. Nothing stunk in a closet.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm glad you shared that because, you know, when we're talking longevity of a relationship, you're right. And it is work and you've got to keep it that way. Otherwise, that just kind of becomes, I don't know, yesterday. And we try to move on in relationships. It's very difficult to do that if that's not probably one of the number one priorities for each other. Because really, it's for each other, right? I mean, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to ask, is there anything you need me to apologize for? It could be the smallest thing. Well, you were kind of snarky yesterday. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, honey. Yeah, I was really cranky. I'm so sorry I said that to you that way.
Right.
And
just an acknowledgement. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, and but part of it that's a little tricky, Kate, is both men and women think that the opposite sex is like them, only acts different for some stupid reason.
Right, right.
Like, you don't act right because you don't love me enough to act right, or you don't act right because you're too distracted by being Superman mom to act right. We don't know. We think differently. We're motivated differently. We're not even the same consciousness, right? We don't know that. And so we get hurt, we get frustrated, and we take it very personally. And, you know, multiple marriages is kind of like you move into a new house together and then you keep leaving trash around.
Right.
And it gets all icky and ucky, and it's no fun, and it's not beautiful anymore. And so you just leave that house and go into a new house, a new person.
Yeah.
Right.
And the grass isn't greener. It's totally just a different shade because you're exchanging, you know, for other stuff.
All over again, right?
Yeah.
Then you trash that house because we don't clean up after ourselves. And we don't want to. We just want people to get over things.
I see.
Yeah.
Boy, that's great.
That's a tough one. And then so you have this literal thing, right? So someone's literal and someone is subtext, which one of the ways that shows up, Kate, is I'm sorry, woman. I know this is very frustrating because it would totally work on a woman.
Right.
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 If a woman said to another woman, "Why haven't you emptied the dishwasher yet?" That woman would jump up off the couch. She'd drop whatever she was doing. She'd just stop whatever she's doing and go empty the dishwasher.
Right.
No. What does a man do? He thinks about the answer to your question. Why haven't I emptied the dishwasher yet? Oh, honey. And it takes a while to figure out why he hasn't emptied it yet.
Sure.
But he's taking your question very seriously. Why haven't I emptied the dishwasher yet? Because he has no idea that that's actually a demand that you get your butt off the couch and go empty it right now. Right?
I see.
He doesn't know that. He takes it literally. He thinks you mean what you say, which is a big mistake.
Sure.
And so he'll think for a long time, which we take as a refusal. He's just refused to do what he needs to do. He's such a, you know, fill in the blank, what a slacker. And then when he does answer, I haven't answered it. I haven't emptied it yet because I forgot.
Right. Oh my gosh. So funny.
Right? Or I haven't answered it yet because, oh, I was gonna, and then, you know, our son asked me to go play ball. So playing ball with our son is more important than doing what you're supposed to do around here, because, what, I'm your maid? Right?
Like, so. Right. It's so true, though.
Instead of, just, honey, when would be a good time for you to stop what you're doing and empty the dishwasher? Because I really need it emptied.
Right.
Oh. Well, now's a good time.
Okay.
I can do that now. Thank you.
Right. Okay. I understand. I actually get what you're saying. That's the, you know what? Yeah. It's just saying things in a different way to then, to make sense because we're to the other person, because we're just so different.
We're just really different. We process and interpret things very differently, including silence.
Silence.
Right?
Silence is a big deal in a relationship. It can mean a lot of things.
Silence is dangerous, right?
Yes.
So silence, we ask a question and a man doesn't answer. We don't know he's thinking. We don't know he's actually taking time to commit to getting the answer to you. He's going to find the answer. He's going to give you a real answer. And that takes time. We don't know that. We think the silence is either a refusal to answer or causes so much trouble. We'll take the silence as a yes. Like, we'll make a statement. We should go to the movies tomorrow night. I guess we can't go to the movies right now. Or we should do something fun tomorrow night. Or we should clean up the yard tomorrow. And there's silence. Well, how do you interpret that silence? Do you interpret it as agreement? That happens a lot. We think if somebody doesn't say no, they're saying yes.
Interesting.
Right? Or are we interpreting it as a no? I asked him to clean up the yard, and he turned me down again. Well, there's this thing, though, in human nature, which is called saving energy, right? And men have this saying, you know, there's there's no point in stating the obvious. So instinctually, if what you said is obviously good,
right,
they're not going to waste any energy on saying yes.
Okay.
I mean, it was just a few weeks before, it was actually just a few days before Greg died. We were working out in the irrigation on our hay mm-hmm. field together, and I was saying things to him, and he was not responding, and saying more things to him and not responding. And then I was saying it louder, and he was not responding. And then I finally said it, like, louder, bigger. He said, "I heard you." And I said, "But you didn't respond." And he looked at me. Seriously, 28 years together, he looked at me, and he said, "Do you want me to respond every time you say something to me?"
Oh, boy.
I just about fell over.
Yeah, I bet.
I do.
I do expect that.
His beautiful green eyes, right? Big eyes. He looks at me, he's like, "Oh, my gosh."
Wow.
Every time. "Yeah, honey. Every time, some acknowledgement that you heard me. Nod your head, say, uh-huh." I said, "It's like the Marco Polo game. I say Marco, you're mm-hmm. supposed to go Polo."
Oh, my gosh.
I say,
so true.
"Let's do the next row, next. You know, let's move the water next." You say, "Okay."
That's so true, though. Really. I mean, we have these expectations. And isn't that one of the problems in communication? Expectations, assumptions. I mean, hurt feelings go on for years because of this type of communication breakdown. I mean, add in silence and, oh, my gosh. You know, it's a storm.
I mean, I got into something with this man. I just love him to pieces. Oh. And he said something.
Okay, I'm going to stop you here. We're going to go to a break. Be right back. I have a feeling this is going to be longer than 10 seconds. Be right back on the Kate Daly. I want to hear this. Be right back. More with Allison Armstrong when we return.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
I believe in the product. I really do. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. Friggin' snake oil and all the rest. But I'm going to tell you something. I've taken all the snake oil out there, and you're right. Most of it doesn't work. But this stuff does work. There's no doubt about it. I've noticed a big difference in my mobility. You know, things that I didn't think were going to be possible a few months ago are possible now. And I try to sell it to everybody in my family. Thanksgiving, Christmas, everybody comes over and says, "Oh, you look great." I say, "Yeah, I'm taking this new stuff, Balance of Nature." So if you want to use me as a commercial, I'm a good commercial for this. This works. It really does work.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
Now, call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Well, instead, there are times when he's completely focused on something else, but it's funny that we can watch, you said this once on the show and it always hit me, Allison. We walk in a room and we scan the room for what isn't done. And a guy walks in the room and only looks at the chair in front of him and wants to just watch the program in front of him and isn't looking around at all, you know? And so he's so dialed in and extra focused, and that's not a bad thing. It's just how we're wired. We're so wired, in different ways. Anyway, I love that. Welcome back, Allison.
That song,
mm-hmm.
right? When a man loves a woman, when a man loves a woman and he hasn't caught her yet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
you're right. You're right about that.
Men who have, like, okay, she's the one.
Yeah.
And now she's the deer and he's hunting that deer, which makes him worthless for hunting any other deer, like the ones at work.
Right, right.
The guys around him are like, "Oh, please hurry up and catch her. Please hurry up and catch her so we can get you back."
I like that. Oh, good. I mean, you're so fun at this. I take her course, understandmen.com, because there's lots of different courses and lots of different ways in which you interact with the people that you're teaching. And I think people are going to be so pleasantly surprised at how much they learn from you in these cases. Because a lot of guys out there and a lot of gals out there, okay, how do we make it better? And how do we go about a situation then that speaks the language of our loved one? You know, how do we reach them and then get the point across or get what we need to, but understand how to reach these people? So when we went to the break, you were going to tell a story. Let's hear this.
I started to think about, I really can't give very many details about this story.
Okay.
So I was with my friend Tom,
And
we hadn't seen each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you haven't seen each other for a long time, that you're trying to cram everything into.
Sure.
Like everything you want to talk about, everything you want to do, everything you want to say, everything, you know, everything, everything. And I was like a child who was overstimulated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, you know, that, like, I was, like, about to just, like...
like on hyperdrive. You're just like
high, you know,
okay, sure.
Blow up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just made a suggestion that we limit ourselves to certain ways of engaging.
Okay.
It was about 15 hours.
Okay.
And he suggested, so I had an
the opposite
time tomorrow morning,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And he suggested, I think it's a great idea, let's revisit it in the morning.
Okay.
I didn't like that idea. I wanted to be over in the morning.
Ah, okay, sure.
We're going to behave this way until tomorrow morning. And he's suggesting tomorrow morning we're going to revisit to see if we're going to, like, continue on.
Ah,
right?
Gotcha, okay.
I didn't like that. But I did what many human beings do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have a conflict right then.
Okay.
The time together was so precious. I didn't want to have a discussion about it. I didn't want to have an argument about it. I didn't want to say no. I just wanted to stop then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
sure.
So I was just silent. And which is often what happens. We don't want to have a conflict in the moment. It's not worth it, we think. And so we're silent. He interpreted my silence as agreement.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So somebody, namely me, really got her feelings hurt.
Okay, sure.
Because he took himself seriously.
Right.
And that,
literal.
That was the plan now. And I was really hurt. And that's what got me onto this whole thing of we really need to check the silence.
Mm-hmm.
We need to go, so are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Or we need to say, so is that a yes?
Right.
Or is that a no, but you don't want to fight about it?
Yeah, which is it? Sure.
Like, we really need to check that silence and try to do it graciously. Not like, what do you mean all silent for again? You give me the silent treatment? And like, I'm going to interpret your silence and I might do it the exact opposite of what you mean. So I'm going to check with you.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about before the break, that people come and ask me what their boyfriend or their husband meant. And I can tell them a lot of things he probably meant. I said, but ultimately, he's the guy to ask.
That's so
true. What
did you
mean by that?
That's because our assumptions are, I mean, how wrong are we when we assume? Percentage-wise.
Most of the time.
Okay.
So. Between men and women, we're wrong most of the time. And especially what I found is we take personally things that have nothing to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't take personally things that we actually caused.
Mm.
And that's, and if people just noticed I'm taking this personally, it probably isn't.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's a jerk.
Right.
Oh, maybe I did something.
That's so
maybe
true.
It's personal. I actually did something. What did I do? Oh, that was a snarky comment. Or, oh, that was emasculating. Or, I did totally just shut him down. I forget that he's sensitive. He just doesn't show it the way that I do. Men are so sensitive.
Right.
And yeah, they are. They just demonstrate it very differently.
Okay. Because we walk in with a lot of expectations too. I mean, you know, it's the wives that think I'm going to get this and this and this on my anniversary. You're going to get me flowers and you're going to do all these wonderful things and it doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden, you know, we have a lot of assumptions and expectations and the list is long. And we really, I think like what you're saying, if we could communicate these things a little better, ask more questions and not interpret so much, but just ask, because guys are literal. They want to say what they want to say. It they want, don't they? If they feel comfortable,
they do. It's natural for them to be literal,
sure.
And they'd like it if we were.
Mm-hmm.
for so long, men have been saying, you know, So a woman will say, how should I ask you for what I need? Well, just be direct.
Right.
And I have always told them in our panels of men, okay, I need you to script for my ladies, because if we could be direct, we already would be being direct.
Sure.
And we actually, in our live workshops, we practice being indirect, exaggeratedly avoiding the point.
Right.
So then it finally stands out. And that's another part of the problem, Kate. The conflicts in communication, everybody's filtering.
Mm-hmm.
We have to filter. There's too much input, right, for our brain. And if someone is in what we call hunting mode, a man or a woman, they're committed to something, their filter is often, what's the point?
Sure.
What's the point? What's the point? So someone's talking and they're listening for what's the point. And everything that doesn't seem like the point is literally getting filtered out. It's not actionable and it's not memorable to them.
Okay.
What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? Or someone's upset. So they're, what's the problem? What's the problem? And the problem is, are you going to tell me the problem at any point? Or are you just, we're just going to do the 30-year history that led up to the problem that happened 5 seconds ago.
The I remember everything.
Yes, right? And then in gathering mode, especially women, the default instinctual way to listen is, what does this have to do with me? What does this have to do with me? What does that have to do with me? And you get to the end of telling me something, and I don't hear how it has to do with me. Why did you waste my time?
Oh, that is the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, and they may have been giving us really important information that would allow us to predict their behavior, which we mostly fail at predicting their behavior, and then we're mad at them. And then the worst filter, it's the worst filter of all, and it's so common. It was hilarious having 320 people practice doing this on purpose. They had a partner, and someone was talking to them. And while they were talking to them, the sentence they kept repeating in their head was, what do I want to say? What do I want to say? What do I want to say?
Right. Yeah.
Which is how we normally listen to people's opinions. What do I want to say? What do I want to say? What do I want to say? We actually don't even hear what they said, because we're not filtering out what they're saying, because our Google search in our brain is, what do I want to say? What do I want to say? So our brain is producing the answer to what do I want to say. It's not producing the understanding of what they're saying.
I see. So your response really isn't as authentic as you think, because you're not really responding to what they just said. You're just, you've got that planned answer in your mind that you've been working on while they were talking.
Exactly. And then we wonder why people are upset or don't want to talk to us, or why should I even bother talking to you? Right. You're not listening. Yeah, I was listening. No, listening is actually what is the question you have in your mind when someone else is talking.
That is.
And yeah, it's one thing we work on all the time. Like if someone's talking and you listen, if you with the question, what matters to them? What do they care about? What do they care about? They could be talking about kittens. They could be talking about the coronavirus. They could be talking about elections. They could be talking about their garden. And you'd actually find out who this person is. If you're just listening, what do they care about? What do they care
about? Just change that question in your head.
Change the question.
To listen.
Yeah, it's one of the most powerful things we can do to end the conflicts.
Well, this changed the... So I think most couples out there have the same arguments, right? It always ends up in that same destination point, right? And and so would this change that?
Well, yeah. And can I use an example of what we talked about on the break?
Sure.
So you have this project this weekend that you've got to do with your husband, and you're dreading it.
Well, not it's tough.
You're expecting conflict.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it's tough, you know, and when you're trying to work together on something that is laborious and not fun, and you want the end result, but yes.
But my point is, all I offered you were a different question.
Yeah, you're right.
I offered for you to think about, you know, how could this be fun?
Yes. Or how to make it fun.
What would I be happy if it got done?
Yeah.
Or if I had it all my way, how would we go about doing this?
Yeah. So people know we're painting a room. So that's why it's like, ugh, you know,
all I did was give you a different set of questions.
Right. That's so true.
And if you go to Cliff with, okay, how could this be fun to do this weekend?
Sure.
and he starts talking, and you listen for what does he care about, what matters to him, what's important to him.
Yeah.
If you listen that way, instead of whether or not you agree that that
right.
would be fun, listen for what he cares about, and then you share the same thing, and he's listening for what you care about, and then you can make a plan
mm-hmm.
so you both have what you care about.
Yes. And I need
and
to.
You're not worrying about what you don't care about.
That's so true. I need to lose expectations on the result of the weekend because it might not get finished. So we will shoulder on to the next, you know, next weekend. And we've both got work too in the midst of all of it. So we have work stuff
yeah.
going on too. So it'll be
but
very
at the
tricky.
End of the weekend,
yeah.
you were more in love with him.
Yes.
It was not finished and you were more in love with your husband. Wouldn't
yep.
you have a whole better week?
It'd be awesome. It'd be awesome. That's
yeah.
awesome. And I definitely think that can happen because we do have a lot of fun
yeah.
together. And if we didn't have such a crammed weekend of work stuff going on, plus that, it would be maybe I wouldn't, you know, I might be a lot easier to think about, but oh my gosh, you know, you're trying to get stuff done and that's been hanging out there for a while. So I appreciated that because it was like, well, you know, think of it in a different way. Come at it with a different game because we seem to use the same game that we always bring, right? It's just the same.
We and you end yeah. up in the same place.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say something outrageous. Are
okay.
you ready?
Okay.
I know his daughter's coming with the grandchildren.
Our daughter, yeah. Our daughter.
Your
mm-hmm.
daughter.
Mm-hmm.
What if you didn't paint the room?
Yeah, you're right.
What if, like, the coronavirus had all paint
you're
unavailable?
Right. That is
right?
so
you
true.
You can't paint. What would you do if
uh-huh.
you can't paint?
Yeah.
How would you make that a homey place
right.
for your daughter if
yeah.
you can't paint?
You would just learn to accept it. You would just say, yeah, you know, it's
you
all
would
good.
Just tell your daughter, honey,
yeah.
remember how it looked last time you were here?
Right, right.
It's still going to look like that.
Yeah.
And we're so glad you're coming.
No, it's so true.
And we're
true.
Not going to wear ourselves out getting ready for you.
That is the truth. And luckily it's a few weekends away, but you know what though? What a great, yeah, you're right. And maybe that's the give up of the expectation part, you know, how you have it in your head, right?
Yeah. You have what I would call, we call it hostess head.
Yes, yes, I
so
have
hostess. So whenever anybody's coming over, we
yes.
see our homes with a completely,
yeah, that is the truth.
Upgraded,
yeah.
critical eye.
Yes, I want it to be a parade of homes. We have the parade of homes here. I want it to look like the parade of homes. And my husband's
exactly.
like, eh, why do we care?
And we exhaust
yeah.
ourselves on it,
that's
and then
so
we don't
true.
Have any fun with our guests.
Oh,
because we're too busy making everything perfect for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't really come to see your house. I think your daughter's coming to see you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. No, you're totally right. I got to get out of hostess head because I live there a lot. I do. I live in hostess head. So
it's a girly place to be.
It is very bad. it really is. I thank you so much, Allison. If you go to understandmen.com, you'll find Allison and you'll see pictures of her gorgeous face. And you'll also be privy to all of these things on the website. As far as educational tools and man, she really does work with such a huge clientele across the nation and really helping people all over the place. Thank you so much, Allison. Always fun to have you every month. I love it.
You're welcome.
Always learn Great. Something. Thank you. Allison Armstrong, understandmen.com and be faithful, be fearless. See you back here on Monday.